Good morning, everyone. It's good to hear the buzz of conversation going on in church. I'd like to welcome any visitors we have this morning. It's good to have you with us. I hope you enjoy our worship this morning. And I hope you're blessed by it as well. At the end of the service, we have coffee through in the back room. And please come through, have coffee, tea, soft drinks, biscuits, sometimes cake. Don't know who's been baking, but you know, maybe somebody's been baking. You never know. There's a notice here that I've been asked to read out, a pulpit notice. It's please remember to have a look and see if there is a letter for you on the table at the bottom of the stairs by reception. This is for members. Please have a look and see if there's a letter for you and your family. If you feel that there ought to be a letter, please let one of the stewards know, and we will type one out for you, or print a copy of it for you. And also printed copies of the annual church meeting report booklet are also available there at the same place. And also apparently we need volunteers for Eden Singers concert, refreshments, and next Sunday morning on the 22nd of April. There are sign-up lists in reception if you can help with that. That, I think, is the advert over. I hope you haven't switched to the other side while I was doing the adverts, because I tend, that's what I do at home. When the adverts come on, I switch to the other side. Now we're going to come to the real reason that we're here, and that's to worship God. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 4. It's one of the lectionary readings for today, and I'm only going to read 3 verses from it, and I'm going to read them from the Message, because I just like this translation, if you like. On Psalm 4. Why is everyone hungry for more? More, more, they say. More, more. I have God's more than enough. More joy in one ordinary day than they get in all their shopping sprees. At day's end, I'm ready for sound sleep. For you, God, have put my life back together. More joy in one ordinary day than they get in all their shopping sprees. Well, I just hope that the joy of the Lord hits you this morning with a vengeance and you're blessed. Before we start our worship, before I hand over to the worship group, I'd just like to pray. We bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks. Thanks, Lord, for all your love and your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And Father, we've come here to worship you and to praise you. So, Lord, pray that you be with us, that our worship in song would be an acceptable sacrifice to you. Lord, we pray for the worship group. We just thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, that you bless them as they lead us in worship now. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Worship group.
We sing, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." And then we're going to focus on Jesus being our hope and our light, the celebration of Easter. And then our response to that, which is to bow down and to offer our hearts and our minds to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. You broke the chains that took Jesus to the grave. You lifted the chains that gave him new life. And to each one of us, you offer that new life each day. You say, your chains are broken. You are a free people. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we allow ourselves to be bound by the chains that the world would bind around us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we doubt your word. When we let down the people around us. When we don't shine with your light. When we go on our own path and we are disobedient to your word and your will. And yet we praise you for each day is a fresh day. A day that we can come to you and to say, Lord, we are sorry. We love you. We are here for you. We thank you for the promise, the hope of Easter. But we pray that that will live in our lives each day. that each day we will arise and say, today is our resurrection day. Today we will be a new person in your love and in your light. You are our hope. You live in us. And through us, we are your hope in this world. Lord, this world seems so broken, so desolate at the moment. And it seems that people are tearing apart and that there is suffering wherever we look. But Heavenly Father, you have said, my love is the solution. My love brings healing. And so we pray, Lord, in our worship today that we will hear more of your word to us as individuals for how we can spread your love in this world. We pray that your love will be revealed through us, through this church, through the churches in our area, and the worldwide church. That in these days, we will be your light, and we will be your hope. We praise you, Lord, for this time together of celebration. But we pray that in this time, we will be further transformed into your likeness. Amen. We're going to sing Light of the World, and I think at this time we do feel the world's quite a dark place. So as we sing Light of the World, let's pray that we will be the light in these times. Light of the World. For the way that he is moving through this worship, for the way that he is opening us up to you. We pray, Lord, that as we feel his spirit moving, that we won't close down, but that we will open further to your love, to your hope, to your strength, to your peace, and that we will be obedient to your message to us this morning that you have prepared through Bill and through the different activities that are going on in this place. Let's respond to God as we say we bow down, and we might bow down in prayer, we might want to kneel, we want to open our hands to you, but we're here to bow down and to acknowledge that you are Lord in our life.
Hello, Shane. Welcome. Come on in. How do you do?
Yeah, go.
Would you like some coffee?
Oh, no, no, thanks. I've just had my breakfast.
Oh.
A pickled onion monster munch and a curly whirly.
Very good. I had mine 3 hours ago.
Now, what is it you want to talk to me about?
Well, I've been thinking about a few things. In particular, Thanks and Giving Weekend. We need to try and communicate what this is about to the wider fellowship. Do you have any ideas?
Ah, the Thanks and Giving Weekend. 12th and 13th of May, I believe. You're right, this does need a plug or two. Perhaps we could announce it as a church, an announcement.
Well, it's been mentioned a couple of times already. Nicola came and asked if any musicians or singers would like to get involved on a Saturday night.
Oh yeah, that'll be a great music night if some musicians and singers get involved. I know. How about we put something in print? You know, say a poster for the coffee morning. Oh, yeah, and the plant sale, yeah, that's on there too.
Mm.
How about a poster for the May music night? Oh, well, we seem to have one of them as well. What about a brochure for the whole weekend? You know, just like those.
And Patricia mentioned it during her church finances talk only last week.
Oh, yes. Oh, she did. So, we've had some announcements and produced some promotional material. That's good.
Yeah. But there's so much going on. We've got to get it over to everyone somehow. There's the plant sale.
Yeah, plant sale, yeah.
The coffee morning.
Coffee morning. Yeah.
And the May music.
And the May music, yeah.
Then on Sunday, we've invited a special, well-known, quite fiery Methodist preacher.
Mm.
Then we're holding a special showcasing lunch for our groups. And we're setting up some special user-friendly arrangements during the weekend to help us with our giving.
Oh, well, that's quite a lot going on then. What else could we possibly do to remind the good folk of PMC about the weekend?
I'm sure something will come to us eventually.
PowerPoint.
Yep.
Oh. Something come up on the wall there. Oh. The other question I have is, will people really know what it's about? Thanks and giving. I think they'll get the weekend aspect.
Good question. You're right. Those two words probably do need a little unpacking. Let's see. Thanks. Thank you. Mercy. Ta very much, gracias. You know, that could be something to do with genuinely celebrating the blessings we enjoy as a church. You know, like our buildings.
And the people who come to them.
The things that are put on.
And the many people who are touched by them.
And the efforts of so many people who volunteer.
And pray.
The simple joy of meeting together.
And the ways we support one another. Yes, the list goes on and on. But what about the giving part?
Ah, giving. Now that might put a bit of a downer on things.
Yeah. My worry is some will think it's just about fundraising to fill a looming hole in our finances.
It's not very British, is it, talking about money?
But the point is, it's not just about money. It's about joining together as a church to enjoy the blessing of supporting the God-given ministries we do in the ways that we can.
You're right there, Graham. I don't recall any negative aspects of engaging with God's work in the Bible. All types of giving are portrayed as a positive response for our thankfulness.
And that's why the weekend is called Thanks and Giving.
Ah. And of course, that's part of the original thinking behind our Barnabas group. You know, under the banner of encouragement, that people will become so enthused about what they discover, what God's kingdom, you know, is bringing in this place, you know, that the means to keep it flowing would just come in.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Perhaps we should worry less. You know, we have so many dedicated people in this church giving of their best, working out their faith, and guiding the church through to the best of their ability, quite unconditionally.
So, the Thanks and Giving weekend. It's also about showing off some of the great things our amazing people are doing, right?
Right. Did you know that there are about 70 groups?
70?
Yeah, of one kind or another here. Have you looked at the publication that's been produced for next week's annual church meeting?
Not yet, but I do have a copy at home.
Have a good read of it, because it tells us all about them. You know, if there's so much good going on in this church, with all the people we impact every week, it's no wonder we're getting challenged to continue to support it.
Yes, I think you're right there. We shouldn't worry. What with Reverend Dave's recent letter to the church, and our treasurer explaining the financial situation, and all the stuff in the Thanks and Giving brochure, and our cheesy sketch, that might just be enough to get the message across to folk.
Let's hope so. Thanks for the chat here. Hold on. There seems to be a crowd of people out there, some up in the trees over there, watching us. Perhaps we should take the opportunity and encourage them to come and share in the Thanks and Giving weekend.
What a good idea.
Hey, good morning, folks. Sorry we didn't notice you sooner.
Just in case you missed it, there's a special weekend here at PMC on the 12th and 13th of May called Thanks and Giving.
Yeah, now during the weekend, we're hoping you'll be encouraged to celebrate our blessings.
To participate? You know, by joining in and perhaps learning more about some of our ministries.
And to review your support, both practically and financially.
And the brochure that was mentioned will be out next week, so please do get a copy.
And please keep a date in your diary, the 12th and 13th of May.
We'd love to see you.
Well done. There's that old adage, isn't there? You know, this is a rich church. Plenty of money. It's all in your pockets. That's the problem. And it's in my pockets as well. So let's just pray about that. Let's just pray for the weekend. Father, we just pray for this weekend. The weekend, and it's not just about giving, Lord. It's about giving to you of our time and our talents and the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, all that we've got has been given to us by you. When we give to you, we're giving nothing back that doesn't belong to you in the first place. So, Father, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, but also, Lord, to give. Give to back to the church and give back to the community as well by doing that. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon that weekend, all the activities that are going to be going on. May be a good time had by all, Lord. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our young people are going to go to their various groups. Some of us young people are going to stay in here. It's good to see you. Have a good time. Good. I'm going to ask Helen now to come and bring God's word to us. Can I just give a little bit of an introduction to the word that Helen's going to bring? The first one follows on from the two that were going to Emmaus, and they'd got some news that they wanted to tell the disciples, and so they'd rushed back to Jerusalem. And the second reading is where Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and they'd found a man who was crippled, and so they prayed for him and he was healed. And that's the place where Helen comes in with these readings, just to help us get them in context. Thanks, Helen.
The first reading is from Luke chapter 24 and is on page 1062 in the Church Bible, and it's Luke chapter 24, reading verses 36 to 48. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The second reading is on page 1095, and it's Acts chapter 3, reading verses 19, in fact. Peter speaks to the onlookers. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that come through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, once again we thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the words that you give to us. And Lord, as we consider those passages now and how they affect and come into our lives, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless our thoughts, open our hearts and open our minds to receive from you. Teach us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this talk this morning, The Unexpected Visitor, or An Unexpected Visitor. You know, it's not always convenient when somebody visits your home, is it? You know, you've planned to do something, and you just settle down to maybe watch something on the TV, or to have a nice meal, and then suddenly there's a knock on the front door, or the back door, whichever one you use generally. And you think, oh no, who's that? You know, and you peep around the curtain. And there's two people there with handbags. And No. It's just... But there's people there and you think, oh no, dinner's getting cold. It's not always convenient. I watched a program the other week. I like that program on television, Not Going Out, with Lee Mack. I don't know if anybody else watches it. Just on the other week, I think it was about a fortnight ago, I watched the program. And they had an unexpected invitation, because they were looking forward to watching the end of this Swedish crime thriller that had been on television. They'd got the box set, they'd got the last two to watch, and they were going to settle down, kids off to bed, and settle down and watch it. And then their friend came round, the friend of the guy, the doctor, and his wife, and she said, you haven't forgotten, you're having dinner with us tonight. No, we haven't forgotten. No, we'll be there, you know. And then later on, Lee said to his wife, oh, ring her up, tell her one of the kids is sick, you know, we can't come. And so they did. And it just got to be a whole mess, because lie compounded lie compounded lie. And then they were found out in the end. And they also found out that they'd been told who the killer was. And so they found out. They found that out before they actually watched the box set. It would have been far better if they'd just gone and done what they were supposed to be doing. Not always convenient when somebody visits you unexpectedly. And today we're hearing about Jesus appearing to his disciples in the upper room. And I think it's good if we sort of get things in context. Just think about those disciples and those friends of Jesus, those relatives of Jesus, they're in this upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. Which room it is, we don't know, but I would suspect it's the room there where they met with Jesus and had that Last Supper. And for them, their whole lives are in a complete and utter mess. They are afraid. Jesus has died on the cross. He loved them, and they loved him. They'd spent 3 years working with him, travelling around with him, enjoying his company. They'd grown close to him. And they were frightened that they might be arrested. You know, they might be found guilty by association. You know, friends of that rebel that was crucified the other day. That guy Jesus, come on, you're coming with us before the law courts. And then to compound it all, the women had come running back that morning from the tomb and saying, the body's gone, the body's gone. The grave clothes are there, but Jesus is gone. Well, you don't take much notice of women, not in those days, because women weren't even credible witnesses in court. Women were subject to, they got confused and overexcited. They suffered from the vapors, whatever they were. And so they didn't take any. And then Mary Magdalene, she comes running in and said, I've seen him. I've seen Jesus. He was there. He's wandering around in the grave. Oh my goodness. You just imagine how the disciples are feeling. So Peter says, I'll go and have a look. And he ran off to the graveyard. And he came back and he said, yeah, sure enough, Jesus is gone. He's not there. The body's been taken. So where is Jesus? You know our Tiddlywinks group play that game, Where is Jesus? You know the Tiddlywinks, we have a little group of toddlers who meet on a Friday morning, and they've got a little action man figure dressed in Jesus' clothes, and they hide him, apparently. And they get the toddlers to go and find Jesus. They say, where's Jesus? And off the toddlers go and find him. I think it's lovely. That's what we should all be doing in our lives, shouldn't we? We should be searching for Jesus. Go and find Jesus. I don't know whether... is he hidden in this room, Lynn? No, he's not hidden. No. Yeah, I think it's great. But they're thinking, you know, where is Jesus? Who's taken his body? Why have they taken his body? You know, it's okay for us because we've got the Bible. We've got the box set. Series 1 and 2. We know how the story pans out. But the disciples don't. And I often think it's a good idea just to try and think the way that they would think. It's not easy for us to go back into the first century, from the 21st century, with our technology and our everything else that makes up for this modern world that we live in. But I think, you know, if you think of a time when you were worried, when you were really frightened, a time when you felt sick, when you could have screamed, or a time when you just wanted to roll up into a ball in a corner and stop the world. I want to get off. And that's how I think these disciples were feeling at that time. You know, they thought Jesus had the measure of these rulers and these priests. It didn't matter what they said to him, he always seemed to get the better of them. Nobody ever bested him when he came to a discussion. He always showed them up for what they were. He always seemed to have the right thing to say. And now he's gone. And they're scared. And I wonder, did they think, I wish I'd listened to him when he was telling us all about what was going to happen when we got to Jerusalem? He'd said something about dying, and I never really understood it, and I just don't know what's happening. And then, to cap it all, Cleopas and his friend, whoever that other person was, who were going to Emmaus, came and knocked on the door. I can imagine how they reacted. You know, they're in this room, everything's locked up, and all of a sudden there's a bang, bang, bang on the front door, and they're all going, ah! Mary, you go and answer it. You know, these brave men. Mary, you go and answer the door. We're all behind you. They open the door, and Cleopas and his friend walk in. And they say, hang on a minute, you were going to Emmaus, what are you doing here? And they tell them the story of how this person had joined them on this walk, and how he told them all about the scriptures. He'd opened all the scriptures right from Moses right up to through the prophets and up to the present day. And they were so enjoying the discussion, they asked him to stay for supper. And it wasn't until he broke the bread, the way he spoke, the way he did it, they suddenly realized, hang on, this is Jesus. Why didn't they recognize him? I don't know. I've heard all sorts of excuses. He had a big hood on. It was dark. Lighting wasn't as good in those days. I don't know. But for some reason, it wasn't until that point they recognized him. They said, hang on, this is Jesus. And they looked back and he'd gone. Fancy telling the disciples that. They said, hang on, you looked away and then you looked back and he'd gone. Right, okay. Been at the communion wine again.
And they said, no, we've rushed all the way back here to tell you. Imagine how the disciples felt. Imagine the turmoil in their minds. You know, I often talk about, sometimes if I'm feeling a bit stressed or a bit worried, I get a tumble dryer mind. You know that sort of mind where an idea drops in, some worry drops in, and then it sort of disappears and another one drops in. And you can't get a hang on, you can't get a hold of the one that's dropped into your mind, and you're trying to sort it out and think it through, and then some other, and you just think, oh, I just wish this would stop. Well, I'm sort of thinking these lot have got a spin dryer mind, because everything's just whirling around in their heads so fast. And then just as they're trying to get a handle on all of this, they're trying to compute what's happened, there's a voice behind them. And they recognize that voice. And that voice just says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And they turn around. And it's Jesus standing there amongst them. And they're terrified and they're frightened and they're alarmed and they're startled. All the adjectives. They think he's a ghost to start off with. And the words just fail to describe probably how they would feel. But I think they were probably at a tipping point. You know, any more like this and they're going to be pushed over the edge. And Jesus just calms them down. Just like he calmed the troubled waters of Lake Galilee. He just said, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? It is I, myself. When I read that, I thought, whoa, wait, hang on a minute. It is I, myself. That's a little bit like I am. Is Jesus coming in and saying, I am? I am who I am? Yahweh? God? The Lord? I don't know. It just struck me when I read that. And Jesus says to them, well, look, check out my hands. Check out my feet. Look at the hole in my side. And to prove to him that he really has risen from the dead, he says, have you got something I can eat? And they give him some broiled fish, which doesn't sound very appetizing, but apparently it's roasted fish. I looked that bit up. I'm not a cook to that extent. Piece of roast fish, and he ate it. You know, Luke and all the gospel writers go to great length to testify to the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, and I know there are some who say, I believe in a spiritual resurrection. I believe that the spirit of Jesus went to heaven. But the physical resurrection, I struggle with that. No, for that, it's a step too far for me. And I respect your beliefs, if you feel like that. I think we've got to work out our own beliefs. However, there is no doubt that the gospel writers, including Luke, that we're looking at this morning, believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. And he stands there amongst his disciples. He's got the marks. He's got the scars. He eats the food. And they can physically touch him. He invites them. I believe they would touch him. I know if I'd been there, he'd have got a big man hug. And to those who find this part of the Bible hard to believe, I just say to you, pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God to reveal his truth to you. And if nothing comes straight away, well, don't discount it. Wait upon God to show you. Help God to understand what that scripture is saying to you. But remember, we're testing things against human experience, our own experience. Just because it doesn't fit our experience doesn't mean that it cannot happen. Because here we're talking about God's experience, and God's experience is vast. Our experience in comparison is limited. And some say that Jesus was a ghost. The disciples thought that.
Well, they knew all about ghost stories. Ghost stories at that time were just as many as they are in this day and age. And they had tests. And I looked it up, and I cannot remember the name of the book that I looked it up in, but it is a Latin book. It's been translated into English, so I can understand it. But I managed to find the paragraph where it gives you tests for finding out if someone is a ghost or not. You check the extremities. Were bones evident in the hands and the feet? You make sure that feet are touching the ground. If it's floating over the ground, check their teeth. Well, I suppose you give them something to eat, and that's the other test. Give them something to eat. And if they chew something, they've got teeth, I suppose. You know, whenever we say the Apostles' Creed, we actually say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. It's all part of the creed that we say when we have a liturgical service. The risen Jesus stands among them and begins to remind them of all the things that he's taught them. And then he maps out their future. The future that he wants for them. And he gives them their life's vocation. Jesus says that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And they are witnesses of these things. The disciples did not expect the physical resurrection of Jesus. They didn't expect to see him again. Physical resurrection was not a part of their beliefs, certainly not within 3 days. They believed, a lot of them believed, the Pharisees believed, the priests believed, the Sadducees didn't, but they believed that at the end of time, that everyone would be physically resurrected, but not at this time. So this was totally unexpected for them. But Jesus has come into this locked room and he's unlocked the door of their lives. He sends out his disciples to do his work, to do his mission, to do the vocation that he's given to them. And he sends us out too. He sends us out from our locked places, from our safe spaces, from our church buildings, into the outside world to be his hands and his feet and the voice of his love. I don't know whether any of you came the weekend that we had the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity here at this church, but they talked about our own personal frontiers. The places where we work, the places where we shop, the places where we live. Those are the places where God wants us to work, to be his hands and his feet and his voice and his love. Many of us, if not all of us, have experienced the very real experience, the very real presence of God in our lives. And God is sending us out in the power of his Holy Spirit. This man called Emmanuel, God with us, fully human, yet fully God, who died on the cross, obedient to his Father, was raised on the third day and appeared to his family and his disciples and his friends. And this man committed the ultimate act of love, went to extremes to show us his Father, to demonstrate the love of God for his creation. In John 15 we read, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And John in his first letter begins chapter 3 with, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. So we are called to live a life of love and to demonstrate that love in our communities. John writes, little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. John's saying, don't just talk about it, do it.
There's a friend of mine who used to come to this church, and he used to say to us, mean what you say and do what you say. You know, we can often fear the call to go out into our community and to demonstrate the love of God. But we don't need to fear that call. We don't need to fear that call to demonstrate the love of God. So often, and I include myself in this, so often we forget that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. And the world needs to know these three things. And they will only find that out for themselves if we go out and tell them about it. If we go out and demonstrate that love. That's the only way they're going to find out. You know, there's a glorious future ahead for us. Let us rejoice in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the promised one. In his lovely name we pray. Amen. The worship group is going to come back and lead us in another song, God in My Living. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all your good gifts, and we give back to you a token of our money, but we also give our love, Lord. We give ourselves. And we just ask, Lord, that you bless these gifts, that they be used to your work and expansion of your kingdom, Lord, in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It might be that someone in our church this morning has a wonderful story about what Jesus is doing in their lives that they want to tell everybody about, and they're just itching just to come up to the front and just give us a word of encouragement. If that's you, or maybe it's not such a wonderful story, but it's something that's really affected your life, we'd love to hear from you. Helen's coming up. Praise. Thank you, Helen. Well done.
I'm not really sure why I'm up here. It's probably about 8 years since I stood up here last time to give a testimony. So it's probably about time. I kind of thought when I gave my life to God that he would kind of reach in, blast everything out and get rid of all the, I'll say, rubbish. Life did not get better. Life got really tough. For those of you that don't know, at the time I was experiencing domestic violence at home. A lot of it was psychological and emotional. There was physical stuff towards the children. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to give my life to God and it's going to stop. It did stop eventually, but not quite in the way I'd imagined. So just be careful what you ask for, because you never know how it's going to be answered. But it did get answered. And at the time, the children were 3, 5, and 7, so it was pretty tough. Life has continued to be a bit of a challenge. Obviously, the school holidays are particularly challenging when you're dealing with everything. But when Bill said, there are times when you're rocking in the corner, yes, there are times when you're rocking in the corner. Sorry, getting a bit but I obviously, through it all, I lost friends, and Penrith's a really difficult community. Can be fantastic, but it's very small. In the depths of everything, however alone I've felt, I've never been alone. And that's all I can say. I'm going to go and do the coffee now. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. God bless. Is there anyone else that has wanted something they need or want to tell us? If not, we'll just... I think Sue's heading up to help us.
A little while ago, maybe 2 years ago, I stood here, not as long ago as Helen, and said that I was often in pain at night and not sleeping, and if you could pray, I would really appreciate it. And although it's not completely gone, things are so much better now. The last 6 months or so, I've had quite a few good nights' sleep, probably about 80% of the time I sleep. So thank you for you praying. Don't stop, because I'm not there yet, but a bit of encouragement. If there's something that you've been praying about for a long time and it's not happened, keep on going, because it will do eventually.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Fine. Well, thank you to Sue and to Helen. Blessing us with those real life stories. Thank you. On Good Friday, we had a walk of witness through town and then a joint service in the Anglican Church, St Andrew's Church, in the middle of town, an ecumenical service. And during that service, someone from the Roman Catholic Church, I'm sorry, but I don't know the name of the chap, but read to us some writing by Godfrey Rust called Welcome to the Real World. And it really struck me. And then I was putting this service together, I read it through it again, and I thought, I'm going to use this on Sunday morning. So a meditation by Godfrey Rust. I'm beginning to understand. I saw a sign once outside a church. It said, are you really living or just walking around to save the expense of a funeral? I didn't know that love is real and everything else is just more or less an entertaining way of dying. I didn't know that love is nothing, like nothing on earth. Love isn't what you fall into. It's what pulls you out of what you fall in. Love isn't a good feeling. Love is doing good when you're feeling bad. Love means hanging in when everyone else shrugs their shoulders and goes off to McDonald's. Love means taking the knocks and coming back to try and make things better. Love hurts. It's its way of telling you that you're alive. And the funny thing is that after all, love does feel good. People say love is weak. But love is tougher than hate. Hating's easy. Most of us have a gift for it. But love counts to 10 while hate slams the door. Love says you, where hate says me. Love is the strongest weapon known to humankind. Other weapons blow people up. Only love puts them back together again. Everything that seems real, that looks smart, that feels good, has a sell-by date. But love has no sell-by date. Love is long life. Love is the ultimate preservative. I don't know too much about love, but I know a man who does, up there on the cross, loving us to death. Love is the key to the door of the place he's prepared for you in the kingdom of God. If you're beginning to understand, then welcome to the real world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh Lord our God, we've come to this place to worship you collectively. We've come with thanksgiving and praise, and some have come feeling raw and stressed. Some have come asking for answers to questions about their lives or about the lives of others that burden their hearts. And some have come seeking your will, your help, your intervention in some way or another. And Lord, we ask that you would meet us at the place where we are. Help us to come before you without any mask, but that we come in honesty and lay before you our lives, giving ourselves to you either again or for the first time. And Father, we seek your forgiveness for the things that we've got wrong in our lives, And we thank you that through the death and resurrection of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, we can know your forgiveness. The moment he died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The doors of heaven were opened to us. On that third day, you raised Jesus to life. Death was defeated. God's new age had begun. The age of living in the kingdom of God in the now, not the future. And it had arrived. And all of this, Lord, it can often be too much for us to understand. All of this stretches our imagination. It stands outside our life experience. And yet you are the God of creation, the God of renewal, the God of surprises. Forgive us when we try to put you in a box where we can contain and understand you. And help us, Lord, to allow you to stretch our minds and show us wonderful things. And Lord, we pray for your world. We pray for your beautiful creation. And as we look, we see the damage being done in so many terrible and avoidable ways. We damage the earth's atmosphere with pollution. We fall out with our neighboring nations and cause wars and strife. We pollute the seas with plastic and overpackage the products we buy. And Lord God, we often do not do this on purpose, but we do this without thought for what damage we might be causing. And Lord, we pray for the victims of war and violence among people. Especially this morning, pray for those caught up in the war in Syria. Pray a blessing, Lord, on those who are trying to help. We also pray about the violence in Palestine and Israel and Afghanistan and other places around the world. We pray for children and the aged who cannot easily avoid being involved. For parents who simply want to bring up their children to be decent, honest citizens and find their societies crumbling all around them as a result of conflict. Lord, we pray for the aid agencies who are trying their best to rescue and shield the most vulnerable from the worst of the violence. We pray for the worldwide church, that you would enable the church to be effective in the vocation that you have given to us, to reach out in love to all who are in need, to all who are lost. We pray for those who we know who are sick in mind and body or spirit. We pray for those who have recently lost loved ones and are finding the pain of grief hard to bear. Lord, pour your love into their hearts and help us to recognize their need and to care for them. We pray for those who seek another way in life and cannot find any answers to the problems that they're experiencing. Lord, help us to see the need outside our buildings and outside our safe places. Help us to see that you call us to mission on the front line of our lives, in schools and colleges and workplaces and homes and in the shops and our neighborhood. Help us to see that sometimes we're the answer to our own prayers and to the prayers of others. And Lord, constantly remind us that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. So speak softly into our lives, Father. Lead us in your way and guide us to draw close to you. Help us to see that your kingdom is not something for the future, after death, but is something for us all in the here and now. Everlasting life starts now with you, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So the worship group is going to lead us in our last song, the closing song for this service, in Christ alone.
May God bless us as we go our separate ways. May we travel in the saving love of Jesus. And may His Holy Spirit be our constant companion. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, our risen Saviour. Amen.